The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near, at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." The Gospel of the Lord. What do Susanna Jones, Emma Morano, Violet Brown, and Nabi Tajima have in common? Out of almost 7.4 billion people in the world, they are the only four left who were born in the 19th century. And soon they will be gone. And then those of us born in the 20th century will be next in line. In fact, 120 years from now, everyone in this church, from the oldest nonagenarian to the smallest infant, will have finished and come to the end of their lives. We all die. In the human race, the mortality rate is 100%. And when we do that, that's the end of the world as far as we are concerned. In today's gospel, we find Jesus speaking to his disciples of some frightening events that were soon to come. And referring to the end of their world, he says to the disciples in about 30 AD, "This generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place." And this passage has puzzled many throughout the ages. In fact, several people, prominent people, have left Christianity because they said, well, that generation's gone and I'm still here. So what did Jesus mean by that? For the answer, we need to go back to the beginning of the 13th chapter from which our gospel reading's taken. The gospel, or the disciples are admiring the temple in Jerusalem. He said, "Look at those stones." Jesus' reply was unsettling. He said, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be one stone left upon another that will not be thrown down." To the Jews, the temple was the world. It was where God was. It was where they could offer sacrifice to God. To them, the end of the temple was the end of the world. And Jesus asked, or his disciples asked Jesus, when all this was going to occur. And Jesus speaks to them about signs and the horror of what's coming. And then he says, this generation will not pass away before it happens. And indeed, 40 years later, in AD 70, the Romans attacked Jerusalem and razed the temple to the ground. For the Jews, the world had ended. The essence of Jesus' message, though, is relevant to us today. And that message is repeated over and over again. If you read this chapter from the beginning to the end, it says, "Watch out for yourselves. Be watchful. Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. Watch." Be ready. Once upon a time, there were two baseball fans that were discussing the afterlife, and they wondered if there was baseball in heaven. So they made a pact, and they said that the first one that would die would come back and tell the other one if there was baseball in heaven. And so one of them died, and a number of months went by, and one day, the heavenly one appeared to his friend. And he said, well, is there baseball in heaven? He says, the good news is that you get to play with Babe Ruth and Walter Johnson and Lou Gehrig and all the greats. The bad news is that I see in tomorrow's lineup you are batting fifth. Most, if not all of us, view death as this good news, bad news type of arrangement. For instance, we will all say, take me to heaven, Lord, but not today. So it seems paradoxical that we yearn to go to heaven at the same time we prefer to put it off as long as possible. Does this mean that we lack faith? And does it mean that we're fearful when we shouldn't be? For the answer, I turned to my favorite saint, St. Francis de Sales. And he says, now to avoid the anxiety associated with thoughts of death, our ancient fathers advise us to fear it without fearing it. It's very strange. We must fear it indeed. Who would not be apprehensive about it, since all of the saints have dreaded it? For death is not natural to us. We are condemned to die only because of sin. And each will be judged according to the state in which he dies. At that very moment, we know we must give an account of our whole life, and we will be judged on what we have done. And for this reason, we dread death. Alas, who knows whether he will be numbered among the elect or not? He who does not fear death is in a very bad state and in great peril. For wherever we go after death is eternal. We will either be saved eternally or damned eternally. And for this reason, all of the servants of God have feared this passage as a very formidable one indeed. Most of that was St. Francis. The fathers teach us that we ought to fear death without fearing it. So what exactly does that mean? Now, St. Francis gave us some good reasons why we should fear death. But that fear must be softened by faith. Yes, we know we are sinners, and we know that we will be judged according to the things we did in our lives. But we also know that God is merciful. We can be confident that God is very able to take good care of us. On December 8th, Pope Francis will inaugurate the extraordinary Jubilee of mercy. God is a God of infinite mercy, and he longs to give us that mercy. In fact, he gave up his life so that he could make that mercy available to us. In this Jubilee year of mercy, we will learn that to receive this gift of mercy, we have to want it. God is not going to force his mercy on us if we don't want it, or if we don't think, or if we think that we don't need it. In the sacrament of penance, mercy is at the forefront. To obtain mercy, we must confess our sins and repent of them. And repentance doesn't mean, oh, sorry. It means I will never do that again. I mean, we know that we are weak humans and that often we do commit that sin again. And sometimes we find ourselves in confession, confessing the same thing that we confessed the last time. But our intent has to be that I will do the very best that I can to never do that again. When we come to the priest in confession and we close that confessional door, it's then that we open our hearts, and in acknowledging our sinfulness and admitting our fault, we empty out our hearts, sometimes painfully. But it's only when our hearts are empty that there is room in there for God to come in and fill them with his mercy. So we need to go to confession and go regularly. And by regularly, I mean monthly, if you can, or at the very least, quarterly. It's in this sacrament that our fear of death is softened by faith in God's mercy. In the sacrament of penance, we receive not only the forgiveness of our sins, but grace that enables us. It's required for us to live well. And St. Augustine tells us to die well, one must live well. As our life is, so will be our death. Now, none of us knows when we will die. When I was growing up in Bethesda, my family consisted of my mother and father and my brother and sister and I. And me. So today, only my brother and I remain. My father died in 1981 at the age of 71 after a 2-year battle with cancer. And for most of that time, he knew that the end was coming soon. And he had a lot of time to prepare. Now, my mother outlived him by 32 years, and she died at the age of 94 from acute leukemia, which was diagnosed on a Tuesday, and she died the following Sunday. So death was a long time coming, but when it came rapidly, and she had time to prepare over the course of her life and in that final week. 2 weeks before her wedding, my sister and her fiancé drove to Delaware to practice scuba diving for their honeymoon trip. They never arrived. For my sister, her death was instantaneous and unexpected. Every one of us has an appointment with death. St. Francis de Sales teaches us that we should fear death, because that fear is what motivates us to live well and to repent of our sins and to meditate on God's mercy and on his justice. In his Introduction to the Devout Life, St. Francis suggests some exercises that help us to learn to live well so that we can die well. And in the fifth meditation, he asks us to imagine ourselves on our deathbed with no hope of recovery. And he says, consider the uncertainty as to the day of death. One day, your soul will quit your body. And will it be in the day or in the night? Will it be suddenly or with warning? It would be due to sickness or an accident. Will you have time to make your last confession or not? Of all these things, we know absolutely nothing. All we know is that die we shall, and for that part, for the most part, sooner than we expect. He said, doesn't matter if we die when we're 20 or 30 or 40 or 70 or 90 or 100, it will always seem earlier than we would have expected.
Consider then that the world is at an end as far as you're concerned. There will be no more of it for you, St. Francis continues. All pleasures, vanities, worldly joys, empty delights, gone. And for these I offended my God. And then you will see that what you preferred to him was nothing. And then what you thought to be little sins will look like huge mountains, and your devotion will seem a very little thing. Consider that when it quits the body, your soul must go at once to the right hand or to the left. And to which will your soul go? It will go as it went in life. To die well, we must live well. This is a healthy fear of death. And we must always remember that it is God who puts that fear there. Our aversion to death doesn't happen by accident. Dogs don't have an aversion to death because it just happens. We can foresee our death, and therefore we are sometimes fearful of it. But that aversion was put in us by God so that we will take notice of our lives and strive to avoid sin and to cultivate virtue. And when we do fall, to turn back to Jesus, who's the divine mercy. And this is how we fear death, without fearing it. Jesus describes the events associated with the end of the world so that we will be prepared for death. For each of us, it is the end of the world, as far as we are concerned. And this generation will not pass away before we cross the threshold of eternity. Just ask Susanna Jones and Emma Morano, Violet Brown and Nabi Tajina. Live Jesus.